Blog Talk Radio.
Five Star Radio presents Mortgage Markets Today, where industry experts discuss capital markets, trading, real estate, lending, and the mortgage servicing industry. For more information on guests of Five Star Radio Mortgage Markets Today and podcasts of previous episodes, visit us at thefivestarradio.com. Five Star Radio is brought to you by iServe Companies. Now your host of Five Star Radio Mortgage Markets Today, Louis Amaya.
Welcome to the special edition of Mortgage Markets Today. My name is Louis Amaya. Today is December 19th, 2013. Beginning in January, the Fed will buy $75 billion in bonds each month, down from the $85 billion it had been buying since September 2012. As written in CNN Money, the Fed decided to cut back on both types of bond purchases, mortgage-backed securities and treasuries, by $5 billion per month each. The bond buying program has become so large, it's expected to push the Fed's assets to $4 trillion this week. The new cut represents the beginning of a gradual wind-down process, which Wall Street has nicknamed tapering. But the complete end to Fed stimulus is still probably years away. Fed officials have been stressing lately that tapering does not mean tightening. In fact, Fed extended its commitment to keep short-term interest rates exceptionally low until either the unemployment rate falls to around 6.5% or the inflation rate exceeds 2.5% a year. Most officials expect rates to rise in 2015, despite the fact that inflation will likely still be below the target at that point. Stocks jumped following the announcement, with the Dow gaining 200 points after the news. Brent Nitrate, Director of Capital Markets at iServe Lending, joins the broadcast today to offer up his analysis of the announcement and the potential impact. Fed tapering up next on Mortgage Markets Today.
Five Star Radio is brought to you by the Five Star Institute. Elect to join us for the 5th Annual Five Star Government Forum this March in Washington, D.C. Leaders in the housing market, top voices in servicing, and esteemed government officials will gather at the famed museum to discuss the issues facing the housing sector. Join us in the Capitol and your voice will play a critical role as we define the road ahead. Mark your calendars for March 25th, 2014.
This reduction in the pace of asset purchases reflects the committee's belief that progress towards its economic objectives will be sustained. If the incoming data broadly support the committee's outlook for employment and inflation, we will likely reduce the pace of securities purchases in further measured steps at future meetings. Of course, continued progress is by no means certain. Consequently, future adjustments to the pace of asset purchases will be deliberate and dependent on incoming information. Asset purchases remain a useful tool that we are prepared to deploy as needed to meet our objectives. With unemployment still well above its longer-run normal rate, which committee participants currently estimate to be between 5.2 and 5.8%, and with inflation continuing to run below the committee's 2% longer-term objective, highly accommodative monetary policy remains appropriate. To emphasize its commitment to provide a high level of monetary accommodation for as long as needed, the FOMC today also enhanced its forward guidance. For the past year, the committee has said that the current low target range for the federal funds rate would be appropriate at least as long as the unemployment rate remained above 6.5%. Inflation was projected to be no more than half a percentage point above our 2% longer run goal, and longer term inflation expectations remained well anchored. We have emphasized that these numbers are thresholds, not triggers, meaning that crossing a threshold would not lead automatically to an increase in the federal funds rate.
Well, Brent, there you have it, the announcement from the Fed yesterday. Welcome to the broadcast. I appreciate your time. So what exactly did the Fed decide to do yesterday in their announcement?
The Fed basically decided to, number one, I think it was a little bit of the Fed give us and the Fed take it away. The Fed decided to remove a little bit of the accommodation through QE by reducing purchases of mortgage-backed securities and reducing purchases of treasuries by a total of $10 billion a month. And at the same time, they changed the language, which, you know, it, what you were, the the intro to this was, you know, Ben Bernanke was talking about that they've increased they changed the language for how long they would leave interest rates exceptionally low, around 6.5% unemployment. They would start to think about raising rates. And yesterday they said that they could envision having low rates well past the time that unemployment hit 6.5%. So,
well, I noticed during the announcement there was a when he's talking about race, there was a lot of vitality around the bond, the 10-year note on the bond, but it didn't really have much of an impact.
No, not really. I think it's a push-pull sort of thing. I guess one of the things that was interesting is that the 5-year actually rallied a bit. So, and I guess that makes sense when you consider that you might have an exceptionally low Fed funds rate going into now 2017. The market, I think, going into the meeting was handicapping something like a 30 to 40% chance that the Fed would taper. And, they didn't do anything that was, that was really all that unexpected. The only thing that I thought was surprising was I thought if they were going to taper, they were going to do it only in treasuries and not MBS. But, I think it does make sense that they do reduce MBS purchases just because, the drop-off that we've seen in origination pretty much means as a percentage of, new purchases, the Fed has become bigger. And when you look at the Mortgage Bankers Association Index that came out this week, we hit the lowest level since 2001. So the Fed's purchasing in the mortgage-backed securities market has gone up simply because origination and sales of TBAs have gone down. So I guess it makes sense that they did cut that a little bit. But I think the Fed had more faith that MBS purchases were doing more for the economy than actually Treasury purchases.
So in summary, Bernanke had indicated a slight tapering, which ultimately when we see how much they're purchasing, $10 billion a month isn't really a whole lot, but it is the beginning and signaling to the market, which apparently the market had priced in last summer when some speculation initially started about the tapering. And then, interest rates can continue to stay low. So what would you think the actual message was from the Fed and the timing with Janet Yellen coming in? What's your take on that?
Well, I think one of the things that that the Fed released at this meeting were their economic forecasts, and one of the things that has been kind of a trend, if you look over the past year, is when they've consistently been taking down their estimates of GDP. They've been consistently high. And this is the first one where they actually didn't lower GDP forecasts. They lowered their forecast for unemployment. They didn't cut their GDP forecast. They lowered their forecast for inflation. So, I think in a lot of ways the Fed is, the Fed, I think, is reasonably confident that it's done the right thing. There were several questions asked during the press conference about, was Janet Yellen, did she support this move? And Bernanke had said that, yes, they were pretty much. So, I don't anticipate any sort of real change. And I think the message from the Fed is that, I think if there's one thing the Fed wanted to stress more than anything is that we're not tightening, we're just accelerating a little bit slower, if that makes sense.
The
balance sheet will continue to grow.
In regards to inflation, there's some concern there's not enough inflation. But how important is that inflation number of 2.5% in the Fed's decision, or they're kind of ultimately their line in the sand?
I don't, to be honest, I don't think that inflation is, I think you're absolutely right that the Fed views the dual mandate of managing inflation to mean that they need to take action if inflation is too low. I think they view inflation as too low right now. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, just is a truism of economics is that, you know, 0% inflation and 0% wage growth feels a lot worse than 3% inflation and 3% wage growth. They shouldn't feel that different, but they do. And given the fact that the consumer is highly indebted, the inflation is a debtor's best friend. So yes, I think the Fed would love to see, would be delighted to see inflation at 2 to 2.5%. And I don't think that right now they're worried all that much about inflation. Look, the wage price spiral of the 1970s was largely a function of wage growth as much as commodity growth. And you just don't have any wage growth right now. So it's almost inconceivable to think of, you know, any sort of hyperinflation environment when wages are largely stagnant. It just it is almost impossible. I mean, the only thing that high commodity prices cause right now are recessions, not raises. So I don't think the Fed is all that concerned about inflation.
The Fed, or Ben Bernanke, mentioned, you know, or talks about forward guidance. Can you explain to the audience what is forward guidance his strategy on forward guidance? How important is that?
Forward guidance basically means that the Fed is telegraphing to the market what it's thinking and how it plans to react to economic data. Historically, there was always a theory that the Fed should be as opaque as possible because, you know, that was largely done in the context of, you know, an inflationary environment where, you know, the Fed needed to surprise the market for their policies to have any effect. Today, I don't want to say deflationary environment, but a disinflationary environment, the Fed is of the opinion that it wants to prevent shocks to the system. So it wants to telegraph what it's doing, and it doesn't want to surprise the market. And I think in some ways that the Fed believed they did surprise the market when they talked about tapering in June last year and then didn't do it in September. But and if anything, just Janet Yellen has said that she probably will go even further than Ben Bernanke did, which is to, I think she's going to be very communicative to the market about what the Fed plans to do. Steve Leisman from CNBC asked a question during the Q&A about does this move mean we can expect one of these pretty much every Fed meeting, and Bernanke basically said yes. With all the caveats of, you know, if the economic environment doesn't turn out the way we think it will, but then we can make a change. But basically, he said this is the game plan. Expect, you know, $10 billion a month at every Fed meeting from now on until we're down to zero. So I think the last thing the Fed wants to do is cause a major spike in rates, which would derail the economic recovery. I think they want this to be just as transparent and as predictable as possible, and give everybody from, you know, the banking system to, you know, to mortgage REITs to anybody that has, that needs time to adjust, they want to give them time to adjust. We saw it last summer with the mortgage REITs. I mean, if you look at the biggest mortgage REITs, they took their leverage down from 10-1 to 5-1.
Important. When you talk about forward guidance and what this certainly is doing, when they're stating that interest rates are going to be low for an extended period of time, there's been a lot of discussion on the value of the dollar and the currency in general. and there has been some large trades out of the dollar as a result of the announcement yesterday. What's your thought on the currency, and how does that impact the economy?
I think the Fed is well, number one, the Fed as comment on the currency, and I mean that's Treasury's job. But I don't think the Fed is all that concerned about the dollar. I mean, for the most part, the dollar is not exceptionally strong or exceptionally weak right now. Things have been relatively stable. Our biggest trading partners, when you think of, you know, say China, it's pegged to the dollar. As Bill Gross likes to say, the U.S. dollar is the cleanest dirty shirt out there. But a weaker dollar could be inflationary, which I don't think the Fed would consider to be the end of the world. I think if anything, I think the Fed fears the a deflationary environment like Japan has had, which has driven their yen from 300 yen to the dollar in the late 80s to below 100. I mean, I think that's the fear, and I think a super strong dollar is something that the Fed and the government probably worries about more than a weak dollar.
So the market reaction was pretty favorable. I think, talking about, again, forward guidance, when they kind of discussed this over the summer, the market reacted and priced it in, and everybody was pretty much expecting some tapering. But explain how the market reacted.
Well, stocks loved it. I mean, I think this S&P was up 33 handles after the announcement. And I guess for stocks it makes sense. You know, they're going to focus more on the fact that the Fed funds rate is going to be lower than we currently thought. That's the sort of thing that drives money out of short-term bond funds into stocks. So the stock market loved it. I think the bond market had largely priced this in. As you said, I mean, we've had a tremendous increase in the yield of the 10-year from last spring when this is first mentioned as a possibility to now. So yeah, I think there's a bit of the bond market had reacted and was ready for it. So I think you did see a little bit of movement along the yield curve. There is still some piling in. I think people were shortening duration a little bit and, basically coming out of, say, the 10-year and moving into the 2s and the 5s. So, but the stock market loved it, and that makes sense.
The housing market, how's the housing market going to react? I mean, we have increasing rates. We already have forecasts in 2014 is going to be less origination than 2013 and possibly 2015. Flat or even less. What do you think that's going to do for housing?
I think for housing the mortgage rates are still extremely low historically, and I still believe that we've underbuilt for 10 years. We finally had the best housing starts number since 2008, since early 2008, yesterday. 1.1 million. I mean, historically, housing starts have been around 1.5 million. I think there's going to be a lot of home building. I mean, all of these home builders are reporting humongous increases in average selling prices, humongous margins. They're going to start ringing the register, and the biggest problem I think we've had with the housing market is there hasn't been enough supply, and I think home price appreciation is taking care of that issue. So I know it's hard to be optimistic about the mortgage origination business, but I think the main factor we're going to see, I think, over the next year is we're going to see the first-time home buyer return to the market. I think the first-time home buyer has just been shellacked between a lousy job market for new grads and also, just inability to get credit I think the job market is turning around, and I think the first-time home buyer is going to come back. I think also professionals who have snapped up a lot of property are going to start ringing the register as well, and that's going to increase supply in the market. I don't think it's going to be as bad. I mean, if you look at we had existing home sales today. It was a little bit disappointing. I think we came in, 4.9 or 4.7 million pace. But, you know, we're still at, 40% cash sales, and historically it's been closer to 20. So if you get back to a normal amount of homes with mortgages on it, even if existing home sales stay the same, that equates to a lot more business. I mean, I think the refi boom, it's over, but, how much lower can refis go? I think we're pretty much at, it's as bad as it's going to be.
Final question. I know you got to run. What do you think about the economy going forward in general? It seems to me we're growing, we're repairing, but we still have a ways to go. What are your thoughts on the overall economy?
Yeah, I, to be honest, I'm probably as bullish as I've ever been. I think that there are some fundamental things going on in the economy that are, I think, going to be incredible for the U.S. economy going forward. And the biggest one is I think this renaissance in manufacturing is real. Cheap energy costs in the U.S. have finally offset the cheap labor arbitrage. And, cheaper energy costs, and I think, corporate America realized with the Fukushima nuclear accident in Japan how vulnerable extended supply chains can be. And you're starting to see all that manufacturing come back. I mean, heck, even textiles. I mean, textiles were the first industry to leave, and they're coming back to the upper Midwest. In terms of, when President Obama talks about income inequality being one of our biggest challenges, this is going to do more to decrease income inequality. You bring back manufacturing, that's going to be a lot of people getting good jobs that pay a decent wage, and that's going to do more for the economy than increasing government spending can do. Second, we have, as I touched on earlier, housing starts have been so low for so long that there's a tremendous amount of pent-up demand. I mean, the only reason why you haven't had a complete, utter shortage of housing has been, due to low household formation rates. But that's been driven by a lousy economy. That wasn't driven by, by fertility rates 20 years ago. There's a lot of young adults that are, that have roommates that are living with their parents, that are renting, that do want to buy a house and will. I mean, in spite of an economy that might not be great, eventually people do get married. They move out of they have kids. They move out of the parents' basement. So I think that between those two things, the manufacturing renaissance, which I think is going to have long-term effects, especially when you consider, the U.S. will become a net energy exporter in the next few years. And when you consider all the knock-on effects on that, do you really need to have a tremendous military once you're energy independent? You may not. And so that will do a lot for the national debt. I think getting people working again in manufacturing will do tremendous things, especially for the government fiscal balance as well as just the economy in general. So to be honest, I've never been more bullish on the U.S. economy than I am right now.
Excellent. That's great news to hear. Brent, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. I know you're extremely busy. And we look forward to having you on again in the future.
Great. Thanks, Lewis.
I will leave you with some additional commentary in a moment. This year's attendance at the Five Stars Government Forum is more critical than ever before. On March 25th, leaders in housing and mortgage servicing in the mortgage servicing industry will engage government officials and regulators on meaningful discussions on housing and mortgage policy. Follow Mortgage Markets Today via the web and LinkedIn and Twitter. Also, the easiest way to listen to the broadcast is subscribing on iTunes for quick and easy download and listening at your convenience. Today's show was sponsored by iServe Companies. We will talk to you next time.
What do you make of this decision that the Bernanke made?
Well, you know, his defense in front of us, Corey, seemed on track. The economy is doing better. He justified the move on the basis of that more than anything else. Still worried about inflation somewhat. Talked as well about the budget deal here in Washington, how that gave perhaps a little bit more of justification for making this move right now. But he was also asked at one point, did you do this because you're about to leave and you want to be there when this wind down begins? He said, absolutely not. He said, no way. And I don't totally buy that. I am still of the belief that Ben Bernanke did want to own this to some extent, at least the start of this exit strategy. He was there right now to be able to do that yesterday. And it gives some breathing room to Janet Yellen, which I think is important, takes a little bit of the pressure off her. And I think that was, even if he didn't mean to do it, that's what he's created here. And I think that perhaps stood out to me the most. I'm not sure I totally bought his answer there.
Mike McKee, is the economy really improving?
The economy does seem to be improving. The question is it another false dawn? We've seen periods before where we have a lot of job creation. About once a year this comes along. It comes along at a good time for the Fed right now. The underlying question for them is the overall economy improving so that the job creation will continue?
Yeah.
Their forecasts say it is, that in 2014 we're going to see a stronger economy. So might as well get it started right now. Bond people telling me it doesn't matter whether they do it in December and it doesn't, or March, and it doesn't matter given how much they're actually tapering, almost nothing.
You see, this is what's so fascinating, Mike, is that we have spent probably the better half of the last half of 2013 fretting over what tapering would be like, and here we've done it, and you know what? It's not that big a deal.
It's not that big a deal to the markets, which is a testament to what they've done since September, when they really screwed up the markets. Over the summer and into the meeting where they didn't do anything that was expected, they've managed to convince people that tapering isn't tightening. And you can see that reaction not only in the stock market yesterday.
Zero interest rates stay out.
Yeah, well that's
starts.
Part of the whole thing. But you look at the long-range forecast for interest rates, the curve, euro-dollar futures, they barely moved between Tuesday before the Fed meeting and today. Didn't move at all in the short term. So at this point, people are buying the lower for longer.
So, Peter, you were saying earlier that you just don't buy it, that you think that the timing of Bernanke's exit is also why he decided to taper. You think Yellen has some thinking to do to him?
I think she does have some reason to thank Ben Bernanke, I think more than just this meeting as well. But it was striking to me, Betty, when he was asked, does Janet Yellen support these specific decisions, how emphatic he was that there's absolutely no daylight between the two of them. She's totally on board. He consulted her directly on this, had been consulting with her on these moves well before she was nominated to become the Fed chairman. His message to the markets was, you will not get a surprise on February 1st when she takes over. We're on the same page. I think that was an important message. And again, this does buy her a little bit more time, takes a little bit of the pressure off her, and sends the message to markets, you know, steady as she goes. The baton gets handed off and nothing's going to change.
Mike McKee, big word back into the conversation, inflation. We see inflation in a certain part of the economy and it's alarming, but the overall number is
disinflation overall, and a lot of people are concerned that that will continue. And the Fed is expressing more concern about it. This is
about disinflation.
About disinflation. It's probably more psychological, more for the market's consumption, because they still think it's going to go back up. But you look at what they have been saying for meeting after meeting. The committee anticipates inflation will move back towards its target. Now they say they're monitoring inflation developments very closely to make sure it goes back up to their target. You can see that in the infamous dot charts. We love these. I'll show you the dot chart, but don't pay attention to it.
Wait.
Don't try to figure out what it means. The point is the difference between what they because the point is the difference between what they said there in September, and look how those dots come down in December. What it means is they think interest rates
for a full minute here. So
interest rates are going to be lower.
Right, I'm looking at what they said just now. The lower dots mean what?
Lower dots mean they think interest rates will be lower for longer, and you can see it reflected in their inflation forecast. They think inflation is going to be lower,
you know,
out in the future.
I love your dot chart.
Why
did
they
really
Corey, get some Silicon Valley guys to figure this out here.
No, I'm figuring it out right now. Even in a moron like me can figure that out. That's interesting to see that change in language.
Yeah. Well, you know, it only makes you wonder why didn't they just say this in the first place, right? That might, you know, that might have been...